بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the 21st Sipara. Allah Ta'ala shows a very complete and comprehensive formula. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab. The first aspect of this formula is the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi had seen Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in his dream once. And he asked him that the type of suluk and tasawuf we follow and the type of suluk that you'd followed, is it the same? He said, not at all. What's the difference? So he recited this verse. اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ. And then the ayat ends, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. In other words, in the suluk that they were following, in the path that they had adopted, there were three components. One was the recitation of the Quran, اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. The second one, وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ, establish a regular salah. And the third, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest thing, obviously. There isn't anything greater than the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this was the three components in the suluk, in the method that we had adopted. And the method that you people have adopted now presently, there's just one component, that is abundance of zikr. Ours had three. Recitation of Quran, performance of namaz, and abundance of zikr. And what is being practiced presently in this day and time is the abundance of zikr. Not to say that there isn't the recitation of the Quran and there isn't the reciting of namaz, but it's not like what it used to be then. This method carried on, continued. A person like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, it's recorded about him that he used to recite, used to perform 200 nafil namaz daily. Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi used to perform approximately 300 to 400 rakat namaz daily. He was also an ilmi man, a muhaddis and a faqih, and an ustad of great luminaries, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, etc. But daily 300 to 400 rakat namaz, daily. It's not a Ramzan time, so you've got a lot of time at hand and you're performing additional nafil namazes. 300 to 400 nafil namaz daily. Rabia Basariya rahmatullah alayha used to perform approximately 1,000 rakat daily. When we were studying in India, in Ahmedabad, there was one person who should perform 500 rakat daily. He was also human, living in this zamana, not subhuman or superhuman, he was human. But he could perform that 500 rakats. One great thing that eats up our time nowadays is useless talk. Whether it is useless talk or it is useless activity, vain talks or works. I say it in a different way, just to remember, vain words or works Vain words or works. How much of our time is just used in that? One person had seen Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi, in the dream. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that unki ye ada mujhe bahut hi pyari lagti hai. This work of his, I'm very pleased with. I'm very happy with this work of his. Kya kaam tha? What was that work of his? What was the deed of his? This person sees in the dream that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is meeting him, or the Shaykh is meeting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as Rasulullah Sallam has left, immediately he gets up, the Shaykh gets up to perform two rakats of nawaz. That Hazrat Rasulullah Sallam had come, so he showed him the respect, he showed him the reception that was required of him. But as Rasulullah Sallam had left, immediately he got up to perform two rakat namaz. So Rasulullah is saying of him that unki ye ada mujhe bahut pyari lagti hai, ke this work of his I really hold very dear, it's very very dear to me. That unki ek aan, ek saath, unki ek ghari zai nahi hoti. No moment of his is lost, it's not wasted. About 2 or 3 years ago, Maulana Abdul Hafiz Saab was here, 3 years ago perhaps. So I asked him, you've been in the company of the Shaykh Ahmad Talib for many, many years. So what did you see most outstanding in him? He thought for a moment, then he says, in all that life of his, I noticed one thing very, very outstanding. And that was the meticulous care he had on time. Time he would never, never waste. Towards the end of his life, he became invalid, he could not walk, and he could not see well, so his letters used to be dictated. Now, as the last letter is being dictated, and he's rolling up his sleeves, and he says, Baiha, that water, just get the water, let me make my wuzu preparation. Here, that one work has ended, and the second work has started off straight away. And then, at times there will be people that want to recite the Quran Sharif to him, and the work has been done, one work is being done, perhaps his writing is done, or some type of khidmat is ended, correspondence has ended. By Bismillah paro. As that correspondence ended, there isn't a second that is wasted, and the next moment, the next work has started off. Now this is that meticulous care that he would take of time. And in this age and samana, as there is a great musibat with respect to eyes, the usage of the eye, and the usage of the tongue, the third thing that destroys us is our negligence with respect to time. We're not bothered about it. But what we can earn within the seconds, only when we reach on the other end, then will we realize what we could reach. That is why it is stated in the hadith that after the jannatis have entered into jannat, they will have no regrets. There will be no remorse. Jannat is a place of no remorse, no grief, no pain. But if there is a remorse on anything, the remorse will be about those moments that had gone without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْآزِفَةِ وَأَنذِرُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. Day of Qiyamah is also known as a day of regrets, a day of remorse. For the kafir, then there is no end to his regrets. For the fasiq, for the one that was an open sinner or whatever type of transgressor, for him also it's a day of regrets. But for that believer also it is a day of regrets. He was outwardly pious, but for him also it is a day of regret. A day of regrets because he did not appreciate that moment, that time he did not appreciate. Sometimes it is, we are getting into a discussion. One person came to Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi and he wanted to research one masla. So Mona asked him that, are you interested in practicing on this? Are you wanting to practice on this? No, I don't need to practice on this. Is any of your work subject to you understanding this tahqiq? No. Mona asked him two things. Asked him, do you want to practice upon this? No, I don't want to practice. And is any of your work subject to learning this tahqiq? No. Then phir apne kaam karo. Then carry on, do your work. Like there are many other things that you haven't researched, this also you haven't researched, just leave it one side and continue with your work. Now that was the style of the Sahaba Kiram. Hadith says it very clearly. They were the best of people. There were very, very few questions that they had put forth before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ibn Abbas says just under 20 questions that they had put forth before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ab ye alamat hai kaam karne wale ki. The one that wants to do work, this is an indication that he is after work. Aur jisko kaam karna nahi hai, to wo baatein banayega. The one that doesn't work, he's not interested in work, then he's going to make a lot of talk, a lot of discussion. You come to my shop in a very busy moment. I don't have time to entertain you, see? With a discussion. Yeah, I'll tell one of the workers, just look after him by giving some cold drink, cake, biscuit, whatever, and attend to him. But I can't share that time with you, because I've got the importance, I've got that respect for my job. And this is a busy moment, you've come here, right? We will see you some other time. But at this time, I can't see you. So these moments that are going through, they are very busy moments. One is, life is a very, very, very busy thing. It's a very important, very, very valuable, and extremely precious moment, extremely specialist thing. Then the month of Ramadan, it becomes even more precious, more valuable, more priceless. There isn't a price that you can attach. Look, there are people here in this masjid, in this gathering, the last Ramadan, they're not here today. You ask them, what is the thing that you are looking forward to? They will all say that it is those moments, that one moment we can be just be given back, one moment. We can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we are pining for, this is what we are in search of. Ask them, this, if Allah ta'ala allowed them a life, ask them what is the thing that you are longing for. You hear that incident of two sahaba, and one person passed away, he passed away as a shaheed, and his friend or brother passed away a year later. And the sahaba ikram, as the second person passed away, the Sahaba Ikram are making dua, may Allah Ta'ala join the second person to his sati that died as a shaheed. So Rasulullah wasn't happy at this. I said, what about this person's 1 year of ibadat? His namaz, his zikr, his roza, his Quran Sharif tilawat. What has happened to all that? You haven't taken account of all this. In this 1 year that has passed, how much he has added to his account? How much has he accumulated to his account? So this is the thing that eats up our time. We don't structure our time, we don't program ourselves. We allow the moments to just move as though it is just one big show. Just come, do a little bit of things and we have left. The month of Ramadan has come. We did a few things, few rituals, few routines, and then we just continue. So the things that we need to achieve is, one is we rectify our intentions. What is our intention? What should be our outlook? Number one. What should be our outlook? And number two, thereafter, what should we be doing in this month of Ramadan? What are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be preparing ourselves? So this verse of the Quran, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab." This is a very, very comprehensive verse. Very, very comprehensive. "Utlu ma uhiya min al-kitab." This month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So as much as time that we can dedicate to the recitation of the Quran Sharif, we dedicate that time. Okay. For those that are hafiz, then there is all the reason why they must dedicate their time to the recitation of the Quran Sharif, because they are hafiz. Some portion of the Quran has been learned, 10 sipara, 15 sipara, whatever it is. But go on reciting. Leave the talking for this month. People used to come to the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh in this month, and you say, by eat as much as you want and sleep as much you want. Baki baatcheet na karo. Don't talk, please. Don't talk. One thing leads to the other. One thing. Ek baat se dusri baat nikalti hai. Aur baatein nikalti chali jati hai. As you look for a start, you will find something to discuss. And then you will try and justify that discussion. Somehow you will try and justify, appease yourself, that just that discussion is required. But if you see and you analyze, you try and reason, I could do without this talk. I could have postponed it for some other time. See? That's why they say that when you consider your words to be amal, right? You consider your words to be amal, then you will have very little to talk about. But the thing is that we don't consider our words to be amal. Therefore, we just allow it a free rein. It carries on, goes on. 1 hour, half an hour. Month of Ramadan, you have half hour to talk, 10 minutes to talk, 20 minutes to talk. Those tiki baate or idhar udhar ki baate. As Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, some buzurg came to meet him. So he says, bahut ji chahta hai baat karne ko. Baki, inshallah, jannat mein itminan ke saath baith karke baate karte rahenge. Though my heart longs to talk to you, but inshallah, we'll meet in Jannat, we'll continue, long discussions will continue. People knew what was the value of time. Allah has shown them the other side. So he says, both ji chahta hai. We meet a friend, we meet an acquaintance, someone we are a little bit familiar with, you like to talk to him. Not that we don't have the heart to talk to him, but then there are more important things. There are greater objectives. When there are greater objectives, then what should we be doing? Sacrifice those greater objectives for the small things. You can see there's a bigger sale coming up. And then you're going for the small sales here, that it's not wise. You can see bigger things are coming up before you. And then you are allowing the time to just go. Mawlana Rahmatullah was here. So he says that some of his murids, they are those that complete 150,000 zikr daily. They're living in this age, that same zamana that we are living today. How did he manage? They're also human being. They're not superhuman, obviously. Kashmir people are not superhuman. And they're not subhuman. Right? They're living on planet Earth, not on Mars or Moon. Right? They've got the same bodies that we have got. Two eyes, one tongue. Same one heart they got. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِيَرَجُلِمْ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِي. Nobody got two hearts. One heart. But then how are they managing it? How are they managing it? They're managing it in this way, that they are taking care of every moment. Idhar se udhar, what can I do? From here till here, what can I do? This moment to that moment, what can I do? How must I program my time? I mustn't allow any moment to be wasted. Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's got a whole vase on this. Ala inna li rabbikum fi laylatikum wa yawmikum. Allah Ta'ala has special moments. Ala fata'arradu laha. He's got special moments. Special, very valuable, very precious moments Allah Ta'ala has got. During the day, during the night, there are those moments. Ala fata'arradu laha. Then you better see to it that you make yourself available for those moments. Make yourself available. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Ji Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, they understood these things. One person, Hazrat Rai Puri Rahmatullah Alayh, told these people, Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib or Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that is a strange thing when you people start off, then you start off with such a speed that the others have made 20 years of mujahada, but when you start off, you overtake these people that have made 20 years of mujahada. But then what was the salient thing that was in their life? So he says the salient thing in their life was this. Both of them are studying around the same time in Nizamuddin, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib and Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib. Both of them, around the same time they are studying. Contemporaries to each other. Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh and Mawlana Inam Sahib, both of them would make a mashwara. You see, I will study for the first part of the night, and before I go to sleep, I'll make some tea. I'll get you up, both of us will have the tea, you will go to study, whilst I will go to sleep, and then you get me up before Fajr. So half the night will be spent in mutala, whatever work needs to be done, I will cover it up in half the night, and the night, as though the entire night will be covered in some work or the other. And because we are working as a jamaat, both of us are a group, so if Allah Ta'ala's special mercies are going to rain, then it will get the entire jamaat. We're working together, aren't we? When you're working together, one takes one shift, the other takes the other shift. So if the gift comes, the gift will come to the both that are working together, and they were working in that one shift, right? Both are working, but just that they changed things, they adjusted their times for their own convenience, that they could pull through the entire night. So he's getting up, he's making mutala, ibadah, whatever it is, till half the night. He prepares the tea, both of them have the tea, one goes to sleep and the other starts off the work. So similarly, the night mustn't go that we all are sleeping. In the masjid, it mustn't be such that we all are sleeping. There must be some activity, something or the other. We pair up, we have an understanding within ourselves. Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib was here last year, and he explained about Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he, his wife and his slave, and how they would apportion their time. In hadith they speak about Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, don't they speak about him, they speak about him. But on the one end, if he is dedicated to studies, then on the other end, he is not neglecting his time. His time is being distributed, he, his wife and his slave. That one portion of the night, he is in ibadat. Before he goes to sleep, he gets up his wife. And before the wife gets up to sleep, the maid or the slave, she gets up and she is dedicated. So at some moment, at any given time, there is some ibadat and there is some tawajjuh and focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that house. See? So if the special blessing of Allah ta'ala has to rain, all the inmates of the house are going to get some portion of that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can imagine, if all of us go to sleep, see? Then who will be the recipient? So there must be some unit, at least one or two people, you know, two people, and then we have an understanding, a common understanding between ourselves, that I will read Quran Sharif or something, namaz or whatever it is, for some portion of the night, and I will get up. I will sleep and you get up. And then I will get up and you will sleep. So we alternate, we go on alternating like this, and we'll see that entire night is going very, very smoothly. Remember, what you can get in Ramadan, then you can't get. This is a special time, a special musam, it's a season. What you will get now, you can't get out of Ramadan. So these moments that are passing, we try and program, we try and understand. The little negligence from our side, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Right? Ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Those that are dedicating themselves to khidmat, then alhamdulillah, it's a great thing what they are doing. They are like those that are enjoying the khidmat, and these people that are dedicating themselves to the khidmat, then just like they're getting the sawab for their own amal, then they got a share of everybody's amal. Because of their khidmat, everybody is in position to do that, whatever they are doing. You're doing that ibadah because of his khidmat. So, like you are enjoying of your own deeds, your own amal, then you are getting the blessings of the deeds that you are serving as well. Blessing of the deeds of those that you are serving as well. But by the same token, why let those moments go? Whilst we are making the khidmat, it's either that we are lifting the dastarkhan, putting the plates, washing something, have a tasbih or something in the hand, a small tasbih that can fit just on the palm, and that thing is going. And we are reading a little bit audibly, so the next person doesn't feel tempted to talk. Remember, in this age and time, people become very, very suspicious, and very quickly they have bad opinions. So the way to avert this bad opinion is just have a smile on the face. Don't speak sulkily and don't speak with sarcasm. Don't speak aggressive sarcasm. Don't speak. Know what you are doing is right. But now unnecessarily you are going to say something and that person is going to take the wrong end of the stick. He is going to have suspicions. It's going to be a big story now. Why is he carrying on like this? It's unnecessary fight. He's supposed to be thinking that this is Ramzan and I need to get engaged in zikr as well. But now unfortunately he hasn't realized. So the easy way to avert and to avoid all these type of suspicion, etc., is have a smile on the face. Don't pull up your face. Don't look sulkily. Don't have sarcasm. Don't speak sarcastic way. And in a smile, has karke taal do. Just smile and just try and avoid that situation. Don't go and confront the situation. Avoid the situation, but with a smile. Avoid the situation, but with a smile. Rasulullah Paksa Wasam's life, look at his life, one aspect. Towards the end of his life, in Medina Munawara, some Yahud had put some jadu for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of us know of that story. Now look, how Rasulullah Paksa Wasam conducts himself. It comes in Bukhari Sharif. Said Aisha radiallahu anha suggests to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why don't you expose this thing? Why don't you expose this? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Ta'ala has saved me from the effects of this jadu. The hadith speaks about the jadu, and then it speaks also that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept on making dua, making dua, making dua, that we understand that the most effective thing at the time that a person is affected with jadu is regular, try and keep making dua at night, in the morning, sleeping, keep making dua, cry to Allah Ta'ala. Like that person can treat you, there isn't a thing that is more effective than dua. So why don't you employ that method and that means that is the most effective? The most effective thing is dua. They say, no, that person from there, he is jealous about me, he did something. Or that person, he is after me. Why did you engage your mind in that type of doubt? Maybe some method, simple, just carry on making dua, cry, keep on crying, keep on crying. Allah Pak jab aap se rone chahte hai, to aap kyun nahi rote? Allah Pak wants that you must cry. So why don't you cry? Cry. Maybe that crying will be a means of your own progress. It will forgive your sins and it will relieve you. But now, no, you want a short way. Do an amal, make an taweez, read this dua, it'll come right. See? So if you want to go that route, you can go that route, but you will not get all these other perk benefits. You will get all the perks you'll get. Your sins are forgiven, Allah Pak elevates your status, etc. And over above that, you are relieved of this problem. So Rasulullah says to Aisha radiallahu anha, that Allah Ta'ala has saved me from this. From the effects and the harms of the jadu, Allah Ta'ala saved me. Right? And as for myself, I don't want to publicize any evil. To go and make a publicity of any evil that was caused to me, I don't want to go and publicize things. Incite problems, incite trouble. Now if I'm going to say, I'm going to speak about it, isn't it going to amount to inciting some problem? I go and mention it to all the Sahaba Ikram, take the mimbar, and then I announce it to all the Sahaba Ikram. I'm not going to incite problems. There will be someone that will be for, someone will be against, and the whole community will be broken down, up in arms. Isn't that going to result in this? So I don't want to go on incite problem. Usiru sharran, approximate to Allah, usiru sharran. I don't want to go on incite problems. So you don't have a confrontational attitude. Today you say, no, I must go take him. Take the bull by the horns. Take the bull by the horns. Right? You will have nothing left. You go take the bull by the horns, you will have nothing left. Even if you won, but it's such a painful exercise. Even if you won the whole story, but it's such a painful exercise, so much of time of yours is gone. If you had gone the way, if adopted the way of Mafi Talafi, like Mawlana Yahya's poetry, Mafi Talafi, I'll ask him to sing it one day, inshallah. So, if you take that method, that approach of Mafi Talafi, forgive and forget and all that, your time, the greatest thing is your time is saved. See, apart from the time being saved, you don't have that type of malice within the heart. Now you're going for an arbitration, meditation, mediation, whatever you're going for. In the mediation, you did this. Everybody's right. In the mediation or the arbitration, nobody wants to accept guilt. Everybody's right. Then what it leaves us with? It leaves us with painful heart, pain in the heart. See what he pulled out my false front of everybody, nothing left of me now. What he said was right, but now he threw my dirty linen in public. And this person also says the same thing, all my dirty linen was thrown into public. But make maafi tala, we say that, you know, I know you did wrong, I did wrong, both of us did wrong to each other, make maaf, I make maaf, forget it, carry on. So this is a way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maafi, talafi, just not having a confrontational attitude. It's a very simple thing. It sounds very simple. Because of the simplicity, we don't go. We don't take this method because of its simplicity. The other way looks very, very sophisticated. But it comes with a lot of pain. A lot of problem, pain, difficulty. One friend of mine, when we were studying in Miasam, one friend of mine, he says that he was living somewhere, I think Louis Tricard, in some farm they was living. So next to them was one Afrikaner. An Afrikaner was a licensed officer also. So he told all his workers on his birthday that I want to give you all a treat. What you all want? They said, no, we all want our driver's license. He already made an offer. That was then, the 70s, you know, 60s, 70s. So he said, no, he made an offer. So this people had jumped on it, they took to it, said, no, we want our driver's license. And everybody asked for the license. It's alright, bend down. They bend down and gave them each one kick, gave them all driver's license. But it was worth the kick, isn't it? It was worth the kick. Rather than going the whole route, paying that 1,000 rand, going for the test, going to this person here, bribing this person, going through the whole chakra, take that one small kick, and go through it, finish. So, in afi for maafi talafi, ask the person, maybe say, ghalati ho gayi, never mind, make me maaf. That's going to be forgotten from your side, it's going to be forgotten from his side, everything is cleared up. But now you want to go, take the bull by its horn, be confrontational, and no, I'm going to get you for every word that you said. And you have the same approach. Na meri izzat baki rahegi, na teri izzat rahegi. No, will my respect be protected and secured? No, will your respect be secured? After all, by Allah Ta'ala, when we are presented before Allah Ta'ala, what do we want? Do we want Allah Ta'ala to take us by the book? Is that what we want from Allah Ta'ala? That He must take us by the book? Every word what we said, everything. We also want to be covered up. Allah Ta'ala just forgive and just... That person said in one bayan, that Allah Ta'ala gives and He forgives. Allah Ta'ala gives and forgives. And the banda, servant, he gets and forgets. Allah Ta'ala, He gives and He forgives. Right? And we get and we forget about it that we're getting. So, this is the way that we would like for ourselves, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then why don't we adopt the same approach with our people? We're eating something, someone is doing something, now why should we have suspicion? Oh, he's talking about me, and they are conspiring against me, and he's talking, he did this against me. Why? Apna kaam karo, let him do his work. You have got much more things, a lot of things you can acquire. So why do you involve yourself in that person's, why do you involve yourself in suspicion with regards to that person? You can earn much more beautiful things, much more great things. You can earn, at least you can earn the chi of the heart when you leave all these problems and these confrontations, trouble, etc. Then the greatest thing that you achieve is the chi and the happiness of the heart. And let me tell you, that for being engaged in ibadat, to engage yourself in ibadat, you need to have the chi of the mind. The mind is cheerful, cheered, you're feeling happy, you're feeling good, your mind is taking towards ibadah, your mind is going in that direction. But now you're feeling gloomy, feeling lousy, feeling grieved. Now the ibadah that you should have done, or you could have done, you don't have the drive, you don't have the motivation, there's nothing driving you. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.